A lot of different technological things going on for me this week. But I will continue to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to the passages that'll be listed up on the screen. And I'll be reading a lot of scripture from you for you. But whether turning in your Bible means on your phone or in your lap, makes no difference to me. I want you looking at the scripture on the page. I believe you'll get a lot more out of it, even than what I may share with you. So, here we go. Be turning to James chapter 4. If I had a title for this message, here's what it would be: How to Receive God's Wisdom in a Trial in such a way that it will guarantee victory in that trial every time. Now, just in a way of reminder from last week, we were in James chapter 1. I pointed out to you then, I've already reminded you of it. I said the church is in the biggest fight it will ever be in. That's the ecclesia. And we need to run towards the fight, not away from it. And we want to run towards that fight with an anointing from God. And so we're going to continue to talk about that. And the highlight for this week is from James chapter 1. He said, count it a joy when you fall into a trial. How am I going to do that? Terry already alluded to it. If we just obey God in anything, like giving, well then God can do in our life everything He wants to do in us. If it's giving, He can give us a cheerful heart about it. And He can pour out a blessing that we won't even be able to contain if we just obey Him in the first steps. So James said, count it a joy when you fall into various and diverse trials. God will help us with that if we will simply obey Him in it. So continuing on that basis, James 4, verses 2 and 3, James says, and this is continuing with his encouragement about a trial. He says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Our note says, it's time to do more asking of God. It's not making a one-time request. That's our tendency. Lord, you said I should pray for this. We spend a moment or two in prayer and then we go on. You know, Jesus teaches us. And what we're looking at today, we have not because we ask not. Jesus said, you know, your Father knows what you need before you ask for it. So why do we ask? I said it a time or two, I'll keep saying it. We ask what we know God wants us to have, and it's a technicality. God put us in charge on planet Earth. And we need to request from Him and declare in faith what we want Him to do. And that's the setup that opens our hearts to receive what God wants to do. So it's not just one time. Oh, and here's a word of warning. He said, you have not because you ask amiss. Sometimes our motives in our asking of God can be off completely. And if we have a relationship with God, we'll be asking stuff He wants us to have all the time, and we'll be open to Him correcting us even in the way we ask or what we're asking for. So, James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If we hear a word from God, you're hearing words from God today. Know that God expects you to do something with those words. And if you hear and don't obey, He says you'll deceive yourself. Chapter 2, verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. My note for us is God's word for you. Remember, we're in a trial. We're asking God for wisdom. When that wisdom comes, it's going to contain instruction which you will need to obey. I say this every time. No, today's no different. We're not talking about whether you get to faith, get to heaven by your works. You don't. You will never be good enough to deserve heaven. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to make us holy through his sacrifice. That's what makes us deserve heaven. But apart from that, if we're in a faith relationship with God, we find ourselves in a trial and say, Lord, the devil's trying to kick my butt over here. The enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. My faith is being tested. James said, you've got to ask God for wisdom, and you've got to stay with it till you hear. The wisdom you're looking for is going to be some instruction from God saying, do this or do that. And well, I'll show you how to move ahead from there. Psalm 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I made a note there, the key to today's teaching. You're going to get a word from God. It's going to involve you doing something. Figure out to the best of your ability what's the first step you need to take to obey God. Come up with that. Now, if you're married, talk to your husband or your wife about that. If you have friends, good Christian friends who know how to follow God, talk to them about what you think God is telling you to do. Interact with your brothers and sisters in the church. You can ask me. You can ask my wife. Interact with people and say, this is what I think God is telling me to do to get through that trial. And you make a conclusion about it, and then you go take the first couple of steps. Now, I would say this if nobody was in this room but me. Get a plan for the first couple of steps and then take them very carefully, Andrew. Don't go charging out the door 100 miles an hour because you think you heard from God. Take those steps carefully, knowing. Well, let's go to the next. This is the next line in the same verse. Let me read it to you. It says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. But then it says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So I said, do not worry about making a mistake. Stay aware, but do not worry. He says, if you fall, you will not be cast down. God will uphold you. So please get this in the right perspective. God's going to say something to you in that trial. You're going to say, I know what I got to do. You're going to take a careful step to start obeying it. You know, and even if you're wrong and you make a mistake, as in my case many times right off the cliff because I was going too fast, but even though I fell, I wasn't totally destroyed because he was still working with me. And notice I said, God's grace will carry you through the mistakes and you'll be trained by it. I shouldn't say that. I prophesy over myself in Jesus' name. I'm going to quit learning everything the hardest way possible. That's when people say, Andrew, you better be careful on the way to Idaho. You could die. And so I go ahead and have a motorcycle wreck at 100 miles an hour. Is that listening carefully to the Holy Spirit? No. That's a miracle that he even kept me alive through that by the grace of God, but he did. Okay? Point being, if you'll take a few steps in obeying what you think God is telling you and stay open-minded, he'll correct you. And even if you make a big mistake, are you with me on this? His grace will carry you through the mistake and you'll be trained because you're walking in the direction that God is giving you. Okay, now this is going to get, I think, kind of fun. Acts 18 and 5. And we'll look at 5 and 6 together. But Acts 5, 18 and 5 says, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. What does it mean to be compelled by the Spirit? It's a very strong feeling that you must do something. Boy, I don't know what it is, but I just got to call that person today. That's being compelled by the Spirit. Quite often, you got to learn to discern the voice of the Spirit. But basically, I just got to call somebody. I got to go here. I got to go there. Whatever it is, you feel very strongly that you have to do something. Now, let's go ahead and look at verse 6. Because verse 6 says, okay,
Keep in mind, he was compelled to preach about Jesus to the Jews. Look at verse 6. When they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to him, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. Now, from now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Listen carefully. God told Paul on the road, all right, on the road to Damascus when he fell off his camel or his horse, people like to debate, but he fell to the ground with a vision of Jesus Christ. And in the process, he was taken, and Ananias prayed for him, and all that stuff. But he got a word from the Lord that he would minister the salvation message to the Gentiles. Yeah. And if Paul knew anything,
And then he went
to the Jews. Andrew, I said, you're going to be my minister to the Gentiles. What are you doing over there? But please get this. He knew he had to go. Why did he have to go? Well, he felt very strongly that he had to go. But then they rejected him, but it helped him realize, I'm called to the Jews. But he had to go. And you know what? Whether he made a mistake or not, please, here's what I want you to see. Reaction to the word of wisdom that you get from the Holy Spirit, it's not automatically a gauge for the accuracy of the word. So he went to the Jews, he was not received, and at the end of it he said, gee, I'm called to the Gentiles, maybe I better stick with them. But please know this, I think he needed to go and have that experience so it could confirm in his soul to stick with the Gentiles. Are you with me on that? And that it's not like he never again said anything to the Jews. He was in the synagogue every Saturday trying to convert Jews to Jesus. He certainly was doing that. But his big calling and his big anointing, the thing he was compelled to do, was to be a minister to the Gentiles. So a very, very strong feeling you have to do something. Acts 16 and 6. Pay attention, Andrew. This is for you. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they came to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit... It's a bunch of stuff to say. But the Spirit did not permit them. So the Spirit is forbidding them and not allowing them. They were going to go preach the gospel. Hey, we got some people over there. We're traveling right past. Let's go. Holy Spirit said, no, don't go. And they said, okay, this time around, and they didn't go. I have a note here. We call it the check in the spirit. I'm about out the door and something says, don't go. Don't go there today. Don't do it. Ignoring this can quickly result in negative consequences. You get that? Holy Spirit has given you a check. Maybe it's about you. Maybe it's about somebody you love. Parents get them for their kids all the time. Just don't let him get in that car. Just don't let him go to that party. Just don't let him hang out with those people. We get them all the time. We need to pay attention. Boy, something's telling me to know. It's not a something, it's a someone, and his name is Holy Spirit. Be sure you pay attention to that. It can turn real bad real quick if you ignore that one. 1 John 2:20. We refer to this one quite often. He says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Old King James says, you have an unction from the Holy One. And in your note, I said, it just feels right. You know that you know that you know. Okay? Romans 8 says, the Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. You know, that's not some overwhelming, blow you out of the chair kind of thing. Gee, I know I'm a child of God. I'm certain that I'm born again through my faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm solid on that. And it's a witnessing from the Holy Spirit. Now, if you'll be careful, you know what, when I'm up here and you've seen me do it, I do it all the time. Whoa, that was the Holy Ghost. That's the unction. He's just hitting me. And he'll usually hit me with that right before I say something, or right while I'm saying it, or something like that. And you get to where you can identify that.
Here's a big one. I send you out the door with it every Sunday, and I'll keep doing it. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I said this in my note. I didn't change. It's tricky when I got to change two things. Unction from the Holy Spirit. Oh, wait. Oh, it's this one. Tricky for me. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This is the note I want us to end on. At the end of the day, you either have God's peace about something or not. Notice I said, it's usually that simple. It's not always that simple. In fact, quite often, it's not that simple at all. I have gotten peace about something I shouldn't be doing. I thought I was joking about it. It may have been more painful to you. Big Harley Davidson with big loud pipes went by the house. We're sitting on the porch in Kenilworth enjoying the nice weather. Big old motorcycle, big old loud. Rah! And Terry goes, it's so, even the dog was yelling, it was so loud. And she goes, it's so obnoxious. And I said, and it's still music to my ears, calling me to come. I'm glad you can still laugh about it. But do you know that in my mom used to say, in that BB brain of yours, good faith people, you shouldn't say that. But in my brain, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, if I just behave myself, I could show everybody that I can have a motorcycle again. And I could get peace about that. And yeah, right off the cliff and maybe dead this time. If you only saved me so many, So if it was only so simple as make sure you have peace, let me tell you where it gets simple. You be so careful that you do everything God says to do to keep God's peace in your life. And you make sure you're comfortable enough with the reality of God's peace that a false peace about following the devil to death will never have a chance with you. And sometimes you got to work real hard at that. I'm working real hard at that now in my life. And I'll say what I always say. If I screw up, I'm not robbing a bank or killing anybody. I'm not going back to drugs or drinking. That don't even come up in my life anymore. Said no to it enough. But you know what it is? My big sin? Not being careful enough to know exactly what the Spirit is telling me to do. And that's from the moment I wake up in the morning till the moment I go to bed. I got to be more careful than most. That's the calling on my life. But you know what? For the season that we're in right now, we all got to be more careful than most. We're in a battle. In fact, let me go to this one. The summary. And I want to keep it in the context of Dutch Sheets is raising up a prayer army that says we're in the fight of our life. We need to run towards that fight. Be equipped with the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. Do the battle that God calls you to do. We're in a trial. We're looking at it. Here are the steps to follow so you hear God tell you what to do for the trial you're in. And on a global level, as the ecclesia, we want to fight the fight that gives Israel victory in the Middle East. We want to be a part of that global warfare because every believer on earth is called to that. But you know what? I want to be a part of the warfare that helps me and my wife have the best possible relationship that we could possibly have. Because that's a trial and that's a test. And I need the same Spirit. I need the same sword of the Spirit that comes from hearing God tell me. And these are the steps that will get you. Are you with me? Global level or personal one-on-one for yourself or for somebody you're praying for. Here's what you do in a trial. Ask God for wisdom. Step out on what you believe He's telling you. Use the spiritual principles that are related to following God. You feel compelled, go do it. You feel forbidden, be sure you don't do it, and always be careful with the peace of God. And if you'll keep walking down that path, you're going to keep, and I, you know what? I can tell you, I'm already doing this. And I've had some breakthroughs. I've heard some things from God that it blew me away. It's like, whoa, I didn't know it could be like that.
Oh, my John Bevere book study people. I had my aha moment, the thing I was hoping to get out of that book study. I had it up at the cabin the other day. And God said something to me like I never heard before. And on a level I didn't know. But you know what? I was walking this out. I was walking this out. And he said something, and I said, whoa, that was God. And please, that's for all of you. Whoa, that was God. You really want to have that.
Father, set with the peace of heart of God ruling in our hearts, that's absolutely our intention. Thank you for helping us into your peace here. Keep us in your peace out there in the world. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Stay close enough to you. It's what you're helping us all to do. Get us in step with you for this day, this week, this month, and for the rest of our lives. Lord, let us hear your word and be anointed with your grace to do it. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Happy 4th of July weekend. Keep fighting the good fight. See ya.